Even the museums, 1975.
So we're ready. Good evening, everyone. It is May 18th, 2022. In compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice was posted on the Township website, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. After the flag salute, we'll observe a moment of silence to honor our first responders, servicemen and women, people of Ukraine, and take special note of the massacre in Buffalo, which should never happen in this country. Would you all rise for the flag salute? Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So first up is presentation of minutes. First item, or first minutes we have are from the special meeting of April 15th, 2022. For the committee, if you need one moment to review these, or if you haven't, this is a late update into the agenda package. It was for the one motion, the special meeting we had for the grant writing services. Any discussion?
Good to me.
Mm-hmm. Is that a motion?
I'll let them read it first.
Okay. I'm sure everyone's had a chance to review.
Yeah.
Any discussion? Is there a motion to adopt the minutes?
I'll make a motion to adopt the minutes of the special meeting of April 15th, 2022.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Then we have the minutes of the regular meeting of April 20th. The version in the packet for everyone and for the public as well, the clerk and I heard discussion over the last few minutes, meetings, of how we can be a little more user-friendly in the minutes as they correspond to the recording. So the clerk has on the minutes that are in your packet, there's no change to the wording, but you'll see that she's noted a timestamp for when in the recording the different headings come up. So at the top it says timestamp in blue text. Next to presentation of minutes, you'll see 7:01 designated. Public comments, 7:03. Down to different topics. If someone is interested in the new business discussion in the recording, you would go to minute 7:17. So the plan is, going forward, the clerk will be inserting the minutes on the recording. So if someone wants to find where in the recording the detailed discussion is had, it's a little easier for the public to get there. Any discussion on that aspect or the April 20th, 2022 minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the April 2022 minutes.
I'll second that.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And then the next is the regular and executive session minutes of May 4th, 2022. Same time stamping is now in effect. Discussion.
There was one thing that I thought should be clarified. It can be approved as amended. Under public comments, if you go down 1-2 to the third sentence where Charlie Fortenbacher asks about the slide of the road, he also commented on the dumping of the dumpster in the park. Is it dumping in the dumpster?
I think he meant the emptying of the dumpster.
Or
it was when it's actually being dumped.
Like
when they pick it up and dump it and take it.
Okay. I thought it was other people dumping garbage in our dumpster. That's why
I think it was getting LMR to take it away.
Okay, well then leave it as is. The placing of the dumpster in the park?
Well, I thought about that, but I don't think it's really replaced. I think that
they empty it.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's up to you.
No, it's all right. That's fine.
Any other discussion? Or is there a motion for the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the May 4th, 2022 minutes of the regular meeting. And you want me to just combine it with the executive?
Yep.
Minutes of the executive session as well for May 4th, 2022.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. We'll now open up to public comment limited to agenda items only. For everyone's information, there will be two public hearings following this public comment for each of the ordinances. So if someone would like to make comments related to either the electric vehicle ordinance that's coming up or the naming of public space ordinance that's coming up, there will be another public hearing opportunity in each of those. So at this time, if someone would like to make a comment related to agenda items only other than the ordinances, is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open the public comment.
I'll second it.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So at this time,
Lori Hoffman, Buffalo Hall Road. Now, is there already a policy? You have a standing committee meeting policy?
That's what we're going to discuss coming up.
Are you going to vote on one today? How are we going to comment? If we can't find out what's in it, how can we comment ahead of time?
There's nothing written. That will be a discussion among the committee.
So will we be able to have a comment, the standing committees? I mean, there's only
We'll see where the conversation goes.
Volunteers. It just seems that we're getting more and more regulated in what we do. And I know that this month, every committee changed their dates but one committee. So I think if it works for all of us in the committee, it should be allowed.
Any other public comment limited to agenda items? Seeing no one else coming forward, is there a motion to close public comment?
So made.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So we now have before us Ordinance 2022-05, the public hearing for the ordinance authorizing electrical vehicle supply service equipment and make-ready parking spaces. To remind everyone of the summary when this was introduced a couple of meetings ago, the state requires us to implement this ordinance. We have very little flexibility on any of the language that can be changed. This was reviewed by the planning board, returned back to us. It does not mandate any electric vehicle charging stations to be installed. What it does is it streamlines the permitting process to make it easier for them to be installed. Is there any discussion that the committee would like to have before we open for the public hearing? If not, is there a motion to open the public hearing?
I'll make a motion to open the public hearing for Ordinance 2022-05.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if any member of the public would like to comment on proposed Ordinance 2022-05, please come forward.
Name and address?
It's up to you. Okay. If anybody's wondering, we reviewed that a couple of meetings ago. There's a court action that does not require identifying yourself.
Anyway,
anymore.
Andy Kozlowski, 61 Old Reddingsburg Road. I've read the ordinance, and you're right, there's very few places to change that allows us any flexibility. But one of them is the penalties for parking a non-charging car in a charging spot.
Yep. Can you tell us the number on the ordinance, just so we'll get to the right spot?
The number on the ordinance?
The paragraph number?
Yeah. It's on the bottom of page 8. It's section 3, I suppose, EV, SC parking, subsection C as in Charlie.
Yep.
And it's on the bottom of that part. And that's the main, and that's what I'm here to ask for, is that there be a suitable penalty for charging and for parking in an EV slot when you're not charging. I have an electric car. I haven't had any issues with charging, but I charge at home. There's a thing in the culture or that I read about is gas-powered cars are called ICE, internal combustion engine cars. And we have EVs, which are electric. And so there's a phenomenon called icing, and the people that call or do it are called ice holes. Because what they do is they park a gas-powered vehicle in a EV slot, regardless of where the slot is. Even if it's way out in left field, they park it just to do it. And I'd like to – I just want to encourage that we have a penalty strong enough to discourage that happening, because it does seem to happen enough. I think it's great that we're doing this. Of course, the state's forcing us to do it. Not that we wouldn't do it anyway. I charge at home. But in Lebanon Township, I could see a lot of people that perhaps work here are going to come to work and charge there. Visitors to the township, someone or if someone visits somebody in a township, drives an EV, the people they're visiting don't have a charger, but they need to charge up to get back home. So they would use it. And then, of course, if someone rents, and as that's also covered in the ordinance, I've looked on the internet and I got a little success. I've called the Flemington Business Administrator and the Woodbridge Business Administrator, but I haven't heard back. I wanted to be able to offer some. What's the going rate? But I haven't heard back from them. Although one or two of them said that yes, they're in the process of adopting the ordinance, and so they haven't figured it out either. So, but what I did come up with is. Montgomery County, Maryland is $60. Raleigh, North Carolina is $50. Washington State, $124. Arizona, $150. Colorado was suggested at $350, but I think that's a little. I don't even know if that passed, but that's over the top. Perhaps Karen Brown will be. Do you know how you're going to come up with the thing?
Well, this isn't normally a question
okay.
and answer period. For the committee and everyone. So he's in section 3, EVSE parking, little c, and the way the fines are incorporated into this ordinance, it's by reference to the municipal code section 712. So the fine isn't in this ordinance that we're passing tonight. It's referred to in another part of our ordinances. So I think as we get some experience, we'll review and see if we need to adjust the other ordinance.
That's the fee.
The penalty.
Yeah,
exactly.
And again,
I'm
looking for anything unreasonable because there are typically there's grace periods if you're charging your car and you go to have a coffee and your car's been on there 5 minutes longer than it was supposed to, but you're back within the 5 minutes. But after that, and that's more usually by the person that owns the charger, but. That's it. I just ask that we have a good deterrent.
Thank you for your comment. Any other member of the public commenting on Ordinance 2022-5? Seeing no one else coming forward, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. If there's no further discussion from the committee, is there a motion to adopt Ordinance 2022-05?
I'll make a motion to pass to adopt Ordinance Number 2022-05, authorizing electric vehicle supply service equipment and making ready parking spaces.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. That takes us to Ordinance 2022-06, the public hearing for the ordinance designating the names of parcels of preserved land in the township. Just to remind everyone, this will officially name Block 36, lots 1804 and 1703, which are on off of Woodglen Road, will now be known as the Woodglen-Mickwin Trail because the property connects from Woodglen Road into the Mickwin Woods County Park. Block 49, lots 8901, 8902, and 4.02, which are bound roughly by Anthony Road and Shady Lane, and a couple of other roads. That's a very large property. Will now be known as Anthony Preserve in reference to the village of Anthony that is nearby. And Block 24, lot 2, which is kind of tucked behind Bunvale Road, will now be known as the Sun Mountain Preserve, taking note of Sun Mountain Road, which is where the public access comes from. At this time, is there a motion to open the public hearing for Ordinance 2022-06?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if anyone has a comment on the proposed ordinance, seeing no one coming forward, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
I make a motion to close public hearing.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. there's any other, no other discussion from the committee members.
Just a question regarding, are there signage going to be put up for this?
That's good. I mean, the boundaries are posted. I think that'll be another action of whether we put, you know, stands that give some information or trails and things. That'll be a further development. But at least now we have a name to call them.
Okay, that'd be by separate ordinance.
I don't know if a
regulation
sign, just separate action.
All right. Yeah.
Any other discussion? Is there a motion to adopt ordinance 2022-06?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Get Mark was first.
Yes.
Roll.
Yes.
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 Yes. And thanks to the Environmental and Open Space Commission for their work on bringing that ordinance forward to us. Next, we have an introduction of Ordinance 2022-07. This establishes, it appropriates the capital. So in the budget that we approved last meeting, we designated a certain amount of dollars for capital by state requirement. We now introduce an ordinance. So the total sum of the capital in this ordinance is $694,251. It's for various purposes, including the road resurfacing program at various locations in the township, undertaking the chip and seal program at various roads, acquisition of a boom mower for the DPW department, that's for mowing the sides of our roads, undertaking various improvements to the municipal building, the DPW building, and firehouse number 2, acquisition of a new police vehicle, and acquisition of the following for use of the fire department: a duty officer pickup truck, an automatic stretcher for loading into the ambulances, and defibrillator replacements. This ordinance gets introduced by resolution number 60-2022. So the vote will be taken tonight is to approve resolution 60-22, which would introduce the capital budget. Is there any discussion from the committee on the ordinance or the resolution? And I should note the public hearing for this ordinance will be June 1st, 2022 at our regular meeting. If there's no discussion on the capital ordinance, is there a motion to approve resolution 60-2022?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 60-2022, capital ordinance introduction.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Takes us to our resolutions. First resolution is 61-2022, certification of the annual audit. Basically, there's a number of state laws regarding the local approval of the audit, which is obviously prepared by an independent auditing company. The key parts of our audit is that we have a so-called clean audit on page 136 of the audit, which is available to the public. It's cited that there are no non-compliance issues with best practices and no material weaknesses found in our, when I say no compliances with the generally accepted government accounting. Municipalities don't follow what you might hear generally referred to as generally accepted accounting principles. We follow municipal accounting principles, and so there are no non-compliance issues with that and no material weaknesses in our internal controls that are cited by the auditor. Is there any discussion from the committee on resolution
61-2022? Well, I have a question about this statute 5227BB-52. Which imposes upon noncompliance with an order of the Director of Local Government Services, upon a finding of guilty, a misdemeanor, you could be fined $1,000 and imprisoned for a year. That would apply to committee members?
I defer that to the attorney.
Yes, it can apply to committee members.
What do they define? There's some people in the audience that like that now. But anyway, it says a local officer or member of a local governing body who, after a date fixed for compliance, they come back to us and say you did something wrong and you don't fix it?
Yes, okay. Your audit was clean. You have no recommendations. You have nothing that the DCA is going to order you to do. So I can probably say with some confidence that it is almost impossible for you to violate this statute because Lebanon's accounting practices were found to be sound and in compliance with all laws and regulations.
So that would only be if we were crooks, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you were caught as being
well,
a crook.
Well, caught being a crook. Okay. Some people, well, anyway.
Any other discussion on Resolution 61-2022?
Now that that's been explained.
Yeah. I think at the very least, if you just review page 136.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what it, that's all they tell
I
you to do.
I line right to it here.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's no other discussion. Is there a motion for Resolution 61-2022?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, we have Resolution 62-2022. I just have to look it up. The DMHAS, which is it's identified as the Governor's Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, Municipal Alliances for the Prevention of Alcoholism and Drug Abuse. This is a program that the municipality does in coordination with the local high school, Voorhees High School. They are applying for a grant in the amount of $10,730, and the township committee, through this resolution, is authorizing the submission of the grant and acknowledging the terms and conditions for administering the municipal grant. Is there any discussion on Resolution 62-2022?
So we've done this in the past, right?
Yeah.
Right. So who's been spearheading all of this, giving the data to the government? Is it
the
school?
High school.
Okay,
yeah.
So the school. So it's even though it's in our terms and conditions, we're not responsible.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, that's been my understanding on this grant program.
Yeah. Do you, under this, you may hold the money in an account and dole it out? It sounds like you're administrating the grant, but yeah, it's handled by the school.
Why is the Alliance chairperson somebody from Highbridge? Is this Kara Highbridge Middle School? Are they part of this agreement with us?
I don't believe the middle school is, but for all I know, that's their address related to Voorhees High School.
50 Thomas Street, Highbridge? Last time I checked, it's right next to my office.
They may be keepers of the funds. We had done that here in the township for them quite a few years back.
That's right.
And that may be what they may be the keepers of the money.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the grant application? Resolution 62-2022.
That's strictly a grant. We don't have to match that, correct?
That's my reading on it.
Okay.
I'd be more comfortable if it said the Municipal Alliance instead of the municipality, but there's not much you can do about it at this point.
Not if that's what the grant's under.
Yeah, municipality shall provide data, there was something else about administering. I don't know where it was. So it's not Highbridge. Is that municipality going to be Highbridge, or is it?
It says Township of Lebanon at the top. It's the Alliance chairperson.
You know, the municipality shall keep such records and provide such information to the Governor's Council on Alcoholism may be required for fiscal audit. Like, we'll be able to do that?
I believe in the reorg meeting, we already had a resolution to join this alliance.
Right.
And, and I don't have it in front of me, but I'm thinking that agreement established who works, who takes care of that on our behalf.
They're probably just part of it.
And that would be Highbridge.
It seems like Highbridge is probably part of the, because it's
right.
The Voorhees Municipal Alliance,
right.
So it's probably a grouping.
Part of the sending district. Highbridge.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's why you have two people from Highbridge Middle School.
Well, Califon would be part of that too, right? If they joined the alliance.
I assume they're part of the alliance.
Does this have to be decided tonight?
Karen, do you happen to know if it needs to be decided tonight?
I think it's up to the committee.
I wasn't aware of a time deadline on it.
Yeah, the grant term starts on July 1st, so I don't
So theoretically, we'd still have time for that, to look at it again.
Well, yeah, because the grant term, it looks like the grant begins July 1st, so I don't know what their deadline is. I don't know what their deadline is to submit this. Yeah, because it looks like the grant begins on July 1st.
It'd be a shame to lose that for $10,730, because that's a good investment to keep people off drugs and treatment for alcohol, especially young people. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the towns is obviously responsible, so it looks like to me that it's been laid out as being hybrid. Mm-hmm. And that could be just the person's address is hybrid. That doesn't mean it's the borough of hybrid. I don't know who Katie Franks is.
HuntingtonCountySchools.org, is it? HCSchools.org?
It says she's the Alliance Chairperson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, she's the middle school. Oh, okay. That must be that hybrid school coming up 513.
Yeah, and hybrid, left-hand side if you're going this direction.
Right.
So they're authorizing the application for the line.
Yeah, they're...
The chairperson is Katie Frank, and the coordinator is Colin. And the Alliance probably can't apply on their own because they're...
We're just authorizing submission of the application. Okay, but the grant starts 7/1, so I think you'd want to be right on the top of the list.
Yeah.
We're not doing anything with it. We're just saying, yeah, we want them to be part of it.
I think when you have to make some...
We're part of the alliance, and we're authorizing as part of the alliance that we're agreeing to this.
Right. But doesn't it take an action in the committee?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I mean. Because we're part of the alliance, as I read it, means that they're looking for us to be... Say, yeah, we're approving you doing this.
Well, it says, in accepting this grant, it is understood that the grantee agrees to abide by the following rules and conditions. So that's what you're really agreeing to, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't see a problem with it, so. I mean, unless somebody else does, I have no problem making the motion to approve Resolution 62-2022, the DMHAS Youth Leadership Grant for the Municipal Alliance.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes. Takes us to unfinished business. First being, as was publicly announced, we are in the process of advertising for entry-level police officers, and the chief has informed us the schedule going forward. He would be prepared to bring to the township committee 3 or 4 candidates for us to interview on June 1st. So the question is whether we should schedule a special meeting before the regular meeting on Wednesday, June 1st, potentially starting at 5 o'clock, 5:15, depending on when people could make it to that meeting. What do we think?
5:15, 5:30 is probably good for me.
Anytime is fine. So whatever, if guy's the highest number.
Yeah. Tom, does that day work for you? June 1st. Does June 1st special meeting starting at 5:15 work for you?
Yeah, that'd be fine. 5:15.
So 5:15. Is there a motion to schedule a special meeting 5:15 on June 1st for the purpose of interviewing police candidates? We would go into executive session for that purpose.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, Township Appreciation Event to Mr. Wilson.
We've selected a couple dates on the calendar. One was Friday night, July 15th, if I recall correctly. The other was September 17th, which would be a Saturday. After discussion with some people that have been through this before, it was suggested that it would be better to have it on a Saturday. More people would probably attend, especially after most people have a long week and it's a Friday night. So we'd like to schedule it for that date. And the pavilion, my inclination is to have it at the pavilion. Well, I do have a question. Don't you have to authorize a certain amount of money that I am allowed to incur? The way I understand it, you got to pay for it first, and then I get reimbursed from the township.
We have in the budget under administration, committee administration, I think, other expense, an amount to allocate to that.
So I'm going to need some guidance on that.
Okay. I mean, we'll look at past years to be precise, but I think we need you to come back and tell us what you propose. We can give you guidance out of typical amounts.
And what was the date that we're looking at then?
September 17th. I believe that's a Saturday.
I think that's a good time of the year, too. Because July, we had problems one year that, first of all, it's too hot. It gets really hot, and other times there were people that are farming their land, and they're in the middle of hay.
And potentially vacation schedules.
Vacations, yeah.
Also, if you do it in July, I would assume that a lot more of the liquid substances would be consumed if it's hot.
Yeah, usually people don't drink like they used to. It's a half moon.
So not with a police station across the street.
Unless there's any more discussion, is there a motion to schedule the Township Appreciation Event Saturday, September 17th in the Memorial Park Pavilion? The exact times to be set?
What's also good is there's not a full moon that night, so okay. I think everything should be okay.
As I said, there's a half moon to get some half wind.
Was that a motion then?
Yes.
Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second that.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. That takes us to an update on the Township newsletter.
That's a new move.
The subcommittee of Mark Law, Beverly Kohler.
Right.
Up to.
You want to take that, Karen?
I'll defer to you.
No.
Huh?
I'll defer to you and Committeewoman Kohler.
Well, then. For what?
The newsletter.
The newsletter, then.
Do you want to give us an update on what?
Did you want to report out?
No, you can do it. Because you led it. You led the effort.
We met with the consultant that the only consultant that provided a proposal on May 4th, myself and the subcommittee.
Can you make sure you have a microphone near you? So I'm not hearing it through, then I won't get picked up.
I, along with the subcommittee, newsletter subcommittee consisting of Committeeman Lau and Committeewoman Kohler, met with the consultant that provided a proposal for the newsletter. The subcommittee members wanted to bring the matter to the committee, the full committee, for discussion on the direction and things of that nature, and wanted to get the committee's input, from my understanding.
Yeah, so I'm sure Mark agrees. We were happy with what we saw. We just need to see that she's going to have the agreement, terms and conditions. We could probably talk about it next meeting in executive session under contracts.
The big item that I think we want the committee input on is the discussion we had is, do we want it to be solely digital, or we still want it in paper and mailed out?
Mm-hmm. I would.
So those are two options. We can go digital only, or digital and mailing.
I think the second. There's still people that like to hold something in their hands when they're reading it.
Yeah, when you say digital and mailing, does it have to be?
It's going to be online.
It's
going to be digitally. Either way, it's always going to be digitally. It's going to be on the website.
Can it be an opt-in?
How many times a year we do it?
Or opt-out.
Yeah, and it's all for the same price, so it's not like you're paying extra for digital.
For the creation of it, it's the same.
Right.
It's just,
we'll get a digital file, we'll get a print file, and it'll get mailed, and we'll have it on the website in a professional. It was very professionally professional done.
But if you did it digitally alone, you wouldn't have any mail costs, correct?
Correct.
Well, you can all, but
and
it could be
costs.
It could be printed.
the way it's going to be laid out, it could actually be printed. Yeah.
Yeah, a person.
So the question is, do you want to save a good $10,000 a year or so on printing costs by going all digital? And also, over $10,000. It costs about $14,000 a year for the newsletter. So you'd save on postage and you'd save on printing costs if you went solely digital. And right now, we're only raising, according to a report I received, $2,600 in advertising revenue. So you're coming out of pocket close to, you know, about $13,000.
And it's not the same thing right now.
You know, 11,000 and some change.
No, but it's just
we've come a long way from where we were.
As far as cost?
Yeah.
Well, the value is still, the printing value is the same. You know, the printing and the mailing hasn't changed. That's been, you know, it's always been around that value. That it's the same printers and the same mailing process. It really just comes down to the creation.
Right. Yeah, we haven't provided anything on the creation. So as I understood, that would be for the next meeting.
Right.
The editor comparison will...
Right. But this is really just to have you think about, and we don't need a decision now. It's really just your thoughts on
digital. Is there
digital
anything that we can gather, information, anything
For the next meeting, I think. There'll be no action tonight.
Action. We're not looking for action. Yeah. It's really just
the committee reporting back to us, basically.
You know, my opinion is, like, we all have friends in the town to get their opinion also. How many people actually care that it comes out in paper? How many would care if they just got it, went to the website or saw it on Facebook, and then just could hit a link and print it locally on their machine if they actually need it, you know?
I guess what I'm saying, there's nothing for me to physically see right now.
There's nothing physically. It's really just about asking in the thought process between the digital only and the digital print and getting your...
And I would just suggest, I don't think it has to be one or the other. I think we should review the idea of whether it's an opt-in or an opt-out. We maintain.
If that's an option, if we can figure out that.
I think that's what we should think about for the next meeting, whether we say it's online only, but if you want it mailed to you, please contact us and we'll put you on the list.
Or
if we say it goes to everybody, but if you want to opt out, then contact us.
Yeah, because the problem is they have that. There's a lawsuit, Bridgewater, the other one that, you know, if you give out these email, if you have the email address.
We're saying mailing.
Yeah, but
it's email.
Email that you can.
No. I'm interpreting you correctly.
Yeah, that's what I meant. We could say it's posted on the website.
Yeah, but if you get an email address from somebody because they want it emailed, there's litigation going on right now because there are civil rights groups that feel that's a government record, then that you have that personal email address and they can use it to send their own materials to whoever has an email address. I have the case. I looked it up. I sent it to Karen.
So let's review for the next meeting how we could do a hybrid of a partial mailing and partial digital, whether it's emailed or on the web or opt in, opt out.
We're not going to email it. We should not email it.
I think the question is for people that want physical paper copies, how do you satisfy them if you decide to go mainly digital?
Right.
Because you can save significantly on printing cost, but you still want to make that option available. And the way that the consultant proposes to lay out the digital copy, it's, you know, page by page, and you can easily either print it out on a personal printer, or perhaps we have a mechanism where someone can contact the municipality and request a printed copy, and we can order a certain amount of printed copies from the printer.
You could put them out in the lobby out here.
You can do that as well.
If people want them.
But you don't. You can save on the postage and the printing significantly if you exercise some other options.
But that postage cost is in line with what existed before?
Yeah, that hasn't changed. That's still different.
We already had that cost.
Yeah. And it was always managed internally before printing and postage. So that's not changing any.
But maybe what should be done to help compensate with that is raise the advertising rates.
We can certainly
do that.
I think there are a number of local people that like to use that newsletter.
Right.
And that's why I think it would be a good idea to go paper-wise still and have the availability also for digital.
And just so you know, we did look at Hometown Press that does Glenn Gardner and a couple of the Bethlehem I talked to the man. that runs it, and they would only really commit to two times a year. They can't get enough of the advertisers because that's free. If you go through Hometown Press, they'll print your articles up, but you don't get the editing that we're going to get with I can't mention the name.
Well, the editing that the newsletter
provided. The editor would provide. And see, what we need to also discuss as a group is the coordination of how this is all going to work. Who's going to submit articles to who? Who's going to get the bills? Who's going to, you know, all of that has to be worked out. So we really need to get you something in writing that lays out everything comprehensive so you can make a decision.
Okay.
Well, we have the proposal that the committee will.
We have to give it to everybody.
Yeah.
We have to get it to everybody.
And I mean, I have copies now, so I don't know if you want to, if you want it distributed so that the committee can take it and review it and then consider it for the next meeting.
Yeah.
So I have it here.
Yeah, you can distribute it after the meeting and give it to all the committee members.
So okay.
Review.
So that's the end of our unfinished business. Mr. Brown, would you like to give an update on the federal grant?
Sure. We received communications from Senator Menendez's office last Wednesday. They requested some additional information, including a copy of the letter of support from NJDOT, which we provided. And I'm happy to announce that they have moved our application along and submitted it to the Subcommittee on Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development, which is a very good sign because that is the next step in terms of the application process. So my understanding is that the applicants all apply, the Senator's office select the projects that they're going to submit to the Subcommittee, and then the Subcommittee approves them. So that's a good sign that they selected our application to submit to the Subcommittee.
It's passed one threshold already.
Yes.
Which is... We didn't get knocked out on summary judgment.
Exactly. We still have a fighting chance. And that's only one application. I haven't heard anything from Malinowski's office and Booker's office. Booker's office, the last time I reported, had requested the DOT letter, which we provided, but I haven't heard anything back yet from those other two offices.
Any other updates this week?
This week.
Takes us to new business.
Oh, before you go, I need to make a motion to reopen this just so I can make a correction on your copy here. This is the newsletter.
Okay.
If anybody has, I don't know if you need a motion, but I made one. Go to page 7.
If you made one, then I'll second it.
If there's no objection, then it'll reopen.
Okay,
yeah,
whatever.
That's a new one. That's a brand new one. We have to do with it. It has to match page 7. If you go down to the second bullet, it says edit and layout 12 pages. That should be changed to 16.
Oh, did I print the wrong?
The next page has the 16, but the one before it didn't.
Oh, okay.
And the only other thing that's missing as I'm looking at this, based on the last conversation we had, was that we need to have some kind of an understanding of what the terms and conditions are for, is there a 90-day out clause? How does this work?
I think that's left to the township attorney. Once you award the contract,
how can you vote on something if you don't know what
the condition is? You're awarding the contract. You work out the terms when you draft the contract.
My experience with these newsletter companies, they'll send us their form contract, and I feel pretty confident in saying we'll want to make some changes to it.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't vote on it beforehand.
Right. We would get
you
a copy
award
of
the contract,
it.
And then you negotiate the contract.
If we don't have that before the next meeting, we can't take action.
Usually have the contract until you award it.
We would, we can approve the terms of the contract.
If you want certain terms, you have to put that in the proposal, and you have to ask for those terms up front. Otherwise, you get the proposal, you award the contract, and then you execute the contract.
And then we'd have to separately authorize execution of the contract.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we'll bring
study
that back.
This and
yep.
Thank you very much. That's a new business. As was noted in the public comment, the standing committee meeting policy, and was also noticed, the issue. And these are the standing committees. I don't want to even list them out because I don't remember them in alphabetical order. But these are the volunteer committees that conduct a lot of the business for the township, and it's come to our attention. Well, let me back up. During COVID, we every municipal function pretty much has a lot of flexibility to try to keep business operating, and so schedules were very flexible. What, as was pointed out, a number of our standing committees have been changing the dates and times and locations, in some cases, of their meetings, and I think we need to go back to balancing the flexibility that we need our volunteers to have with the fact that we encourage the public to be part of these meetings. And what happened over the past month or so was I found myself, the website isn't updated to the change of time, change of location, and I did have one person contact me to say, I drove over because the website said there was a meeting, the doors were closed, the building's closed, so that's why I'm not singling out any of the standing committees, but I wanted our whole committee to, number one, if we have a unified position on that, that we would like the standing committees to make sure that they have the public informed, at least on the website, that the meeting location and times and dates, if they are changed. To remind everyone as well, in the reorganization meeting for each of these committees, we set up a full year schedule. So people, one committee will have a meeting on the X Tuesday of the month every month, and those get populated in a calendar. Someone looks from the public and says, I'm interested in that standing committee, I'd like to go to that meeting. For good reason, those meetings sometimes get changed a little bit. I think we just need a policy on how do we make sure the public is aware. Do we want to have 10 days notice to the public on the website? I think, for our meetings, we can't, I believe it's 48 hours notice for us to change things. I think, 48 hours notice on the public, on our township website would be the minimum that we should provide for that. The alternative, of course, is, things happen, things come up. A meeting can be canceled and rescheduled, and the standing committees are less formal than this committee. So by email, we schedule a special meeting in a meeting. A standing committee could among themselves agree, we can't do it this week, we need to do it next week, but we need to make sure that the website is informed so that the public at least has an opportunity to attend. I don't know if that's clear to everybody.
How long would it take to change the website from, we're going to have a new webmaster.
That's a whole other conversation.
I guess I would ask Jeremy Sundors. Typically, when you send an update, in our current situation, you send an update to the website, there's always the exception, someone's unavailable, on vacation, out of town, whatever. But typically, does it take them within 24 hours?
Usually
within 24 hours.
So that's a sure situation.
Exactly. So
we actually really don't need to be 10 days out.
Well, I'm just wondering,
something may happen where they have to,
right.
24 hours, 48 hours, they have to make a change to their plan.
I guess what I'm saying with the 10 days is, I think the goal should be 10 days so that we maximize the dissemination with a minimum of 48 hours on the website, which I think practically in our scenario would be 3 days ahead of the meeting. So if a meeting is scheduled on a Thursday, it should be submitted to the clerk to be updated onto the website on a Tuesday.
I think a lot of these groups leave their meeting saying, hey, next month we can't meet on this date. Is everybody good with this?
Well, if that happens.
So that's where I think the whole point is, hey, if get it there at least 10 days in advance.
Well,
if you don't, and there's a problem, but we'd like, obviously, things happen.
So,
but to try to just.
How often has this happened that someone has come to a meeting and if there wasn't a meeting? Are we making policy for 50 people, 100 people, 3 people, 1 person? I'm just trying to figure this out. How often does this happen?
To me, I think we have to encourage the public to come to these meetings. I don't know how often it happens. I'm taking the flip side of it. I don't know if it's one, it's one too many, because we should be encouraging the public.
Because I was at a meeting at the last time, and there was 3 members of the public.
I agree. I agree. There's
So I just didn't want to make it too hard on the volunteers.
And that's what I'm trying to, I'm clearly saying I'm trying to find that balance.
If they knew a month in advance that they were going to have an issue, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes something happens, sickness.
Right. And that's exactly. You know, and that's
if it's canceled, that's obviously another.
Canceled
is one thing. It's, hey, we want to meet here. It's going to be a beautiful day. And people come here, and they're not here.
Well,
that's to prevent that situation. You know, just so that the public knows, hey, that one person that comes there, and then they don't know it's here, or it got changed to the next day, or something like that. So
easy enough, if that was to occur, I would recommend that all chair people of the persons of the standing committee start your meeting where you say it's going to be. And if you want to pick up and move, just move, you know.
Or put a sign on the door
that
basically says been moved to the museum.
I just don't want to put too much pressure on the standing committees, but that's just me. I get it that, you know, if someone drove, a person drove somewhere and the meeting didn't happen, okay. I'm just not sure that the policy we're making is really needed, the more I think about it.
Yeah,
I just hope that we're doing it for the benefit of all, you know, because...
Well, I think they should be notifying somewhere to be notified that if they're moving it, they're changing it to another day.
Yeah.
You know, if it's canceled because of a situation, perfectly understand, hey, we figure out if somebody can swing by and throw just a label on the door saying it was canceled.
So
it's another situation where, hey, three people can't make it on this day, you know, so let's move it to the next day. And nobody knows about it. It's not updated on the website. It's still happening. So somewhere it should be notified. Just so people, if there is somebody interested, they know. That's all I think we're just trying to make sure, is because it, you know.
So what would be the minimum amount of time?
I propose 48 hours on the website, because that's just a state statute number, which would mean operationally 3 days ahead of the meeting date. And I would suggest that the chairman of each standing committee should be the one responsible to even then check that it's been updated on the website. Because, for example, I wouldn't know if one of the standing committees changes their meeting, because I don't receive emails on all the standing committees, and I don't think there's a practice to do that. I think the chairman should, as part of their service to the community, should make sure that they're the ones who are going and just check that it's been updated to the website. Because I don't want to sound too harsh, but right now we're not only not encouraging the public to attend, we're actually misleading the public by saying the meeting's on this day over there, but we're actually doing it over here. And I think that's over the line. Not intentionally, nobody's intentionally doing it. I'm just saying, you know, during COVID we started taking whatever action was required, and now we need to get it back a little more formally to make sure that the public can attend.
Well, the historians meeting the other night, were you notified it was supposed to be in that little room instead of here? Because I walked in and instantly recognized it was a Board of Adjustment meeting. So
I requested this room, and we were told, well, Karen was on vacation when we requested the room, and she found out after the Board of Adjustment, so that's why we...
Okay.
I didn't want to highlight any particular committee.
Well, no, I'm just saying that's what I experienced.
But days change, locations change, and the website still reflects the wrong day while the meeting is happening.
Right, but it was in that case, it was in the same building. Okay, we just happened to go in.
But on a different day, even.
No, it wasn't.
It was on a different day.
Oh, it was?
And in a different location from what the website said.
Well, you can't. That has to be.
But that's not the only case. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
Okay.
This isn't to highlight one standing committee. This happened, I think, as was stated.
Every committee but one.
Yes, exactly. That because it's a pervasive issue, I think this committee should give guidance to the standing committee that it's important that the public be aware and accurately notified of where meetings are.
Well, then the least amount of notice should be 48 hours.
And I think we should say then that the clerk needs to be notified 3 days in advance to give us a day to get it onto the website.
I agree with that.
Right.
And if they know sooner, because they...
Of course.
You know, they... Yeah. To reach out, you know,
that there's a change.
As soon as the change is agreed to by the standing committee, the clerk, and then the website should be updated. And if it can't be done within 3 days, then the meeting should be canceled and officially rescheduled.
If one of these meetings is changed and somebody misses the meeting from the public, is that some kind of violation of the Open Public Meetings Act?
Your standing committees, most of them are subject to
Okay. That's what I'm asking.
But it is, if you want to go the legal route, most of our standing committees are established by ordinance. And if you look in the ordinances of the township, they spell out notification procedures for the meeting. It says the meetings can, there it says,
so we
the
have
meetings can be held on the date that are established at the reorg.
So
that's in the
therefore we have to follow that.
That's. But what I'm trying to do is find a happy balance between the flexibility that the volunteers need to conduct their business. Taking Tom's point, I don't want to make it too rigid on our volunteers, but the ordinance also, in most cases, some of the standing committees aren't created by ordinance, but the ordinances in most cases discuss the quorum requirements, et cetera, the meeting minutes requirements. So I guess the question is, do people want to think about that more, or are we in a position to say 3 days?
I think we should formalize something in writing
okay,
that we
so
can
we'll
send out to all of them
so
that we're all satisfied with.
Next meeting, we'll produce a resolution. The guidance that I'm hearing from the committee is 3 days for in an emergency, but earliest possible, as early as their knowledge of a change.
And then I think also if it's less than 48 hours, then it should be automatically canceled.
Yeah, okay.
If it's less than 48 hours, it should be canceled.
And rescheduled.
And
now,
rescheduled,
the reschedule can be 2 or 3 days later.
Right.
Reschedule doesn't mean to the next month.
Right.
But to so
but
the
to
public
have that much time that, to provide then a rescheduling the value,
the public on the website would
right.
have 48 hours notice of meetings,
right?
Of cancellations or rescheduled
of mm-hmm. in advance of any meeting occurring. Mm-hmm. So if you cancel, then you'd have to have it 3 days out.
Right, and you can't help but if they don't have a quorum, for example, and they leave and people show up, that's there was a meeting sort of. They showed up just like at the library. That's happened.
Yeah,
well, they didn't get a quorum.
Yeah.
Well, they probably
that's,
put a
I
note
mean,
on
we
it.
We can't help that.
Right, no, that's exactly
yeah,
that.
So that's
cancellation due to not a quorum is another.
Yeah, that's it.
How about meetings that were never scheduled?
So we'll come back with a written
first
proposal.
First day of the month is a planning board meeting.
This is a public comment.
Before, we don't need to have a meeting because there's nothing going on. It's not going to be posted. Now, somebody could look and say, well, it's the first Tuesday. I'm going to go to the planning board. But the month before, we decided we're not having that next meeting.
But doesn't that usually get put on the website? I've seen that on other...
We'll redouble our efforts to make sure that gets updated on there's a calendar page on the website. If you go to the website, you hit calendar on top, the whole month of meetings, and you can scroll forward month to month. These meetings, planning board of adjustment, standing committees, I think we have to make that a more useful resource. Since Mark Lawl has stepped out, we'll just pause for a moment for him to come back in.
Doesn't anybody have a harmonica or something?
That's the newest committee member usually responsible for entertainment. So.
You wouldn't want to hear it.
He asked if someone had a harmonica. I said the newest
committee. Entertain the public while we're waiting.
I could put Pandora on.
Well, there you go.
Mark better not be gone long, girl. That would be embarrassing.
Here we go.
Okay. Next on the agenda is the Park Committee's request to appoint a new member. The Park Committee has asked the Township Committee to appoint Kate Monahan to their committee. We believe that she will be a great asset and look forward to her being a member. I hereby appoint Kate Monahan to our committee, to the Park Committee. Is there any discussion, or would the committee make a motion to endorse the appointment?
I'll make that a motion to appoint Kate Monahan to the Park Committee.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you very much for her volunteer service, and to the whole Park Committee for that. And we'll be hearing more from them, I assume, in a little bit. Next, a nomination to the Board of Adjustment. So the Board of Adjustment has forwarded a recommendation to appoint Charles Fortenbacher to fill the unexpired term of Alternate 2, which term expires on December 31st, 2023. Charlie is well known to us as a longtime resident volunteer in the township. So he is appointed to the Board of Adjustment, Alternate 2, expiring December 31st, 2023. Is there a motion or discussion from the committee to endorse the appointment?
I'll make a motion to make for the appointment of Charlie Fortenbacher for Board of Adjustments, Alternate 2.
I proudly second that.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, fire department donation request. So in the budget that was passed last meeting, we budgeted the annual donation to the volunteer fire department of $95,000. I should have brought the details of that, but the township, our donation funds a little over half of their total operations. Is that
right?
Ballpark?
So yeah, not quite, but somewhere's real.
Just so that everybody knows, they do a lot of their own fundraising. So they not only volunteer to rescue people, but they also do a lot of volunteering to pay their own budget. But the township, in this case, does contribute $95,000 toward their operating budget, plus the capital that was in the capital ordinance earlier. And this is in the budget that was approved. Is there any discussion from the committee or motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the annual donation to the Lebanon Township Volunteer Fire Department for $95,000, and they would like to thank the township for their continued support.
I second that.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And next, I'll turn it over to you, Tom, as liaison to fire.
Okay.
And park.
This is Brittany, and why don't you come up here? We're going to have you talk a little bit. This is the Lebanon Township First Annual Firemen's Festival event. The dates of this will be July 7th and 8th, 6 to 10, and July 9th, noon to 10 p.m. So if you could go over this with us a little bit. I know that I sat in the park committee and we reviewed it then. I think Mike was with the fire department when you reviewed it there. So just a little bit of an overview of what the residents can expect and what's going to happen, and the dates, like I said, provided.
Yeah, I am not actually in charge of the whole event. Our deputy chief of fire, Kyle, is, but he is at work currently. So I have been voluntold, again, as with the park committee, to give you guys a rundown here. My name is Brittany. I'm the deputy chief of EMS next door, also the treasurer, also in charge of a lot of other things. So if you need me, I'm next door. So the fire department originally was going to do just a music festival on a Saturday. It was just supposed to be stages, some bands, some time for people to come out and hang out. But we would rather be more community-oriented as far as people bringing children, hanging out with friends and neighbors. So Kyle was actually able to get a hold of a carnival company that is willing to come out and do some rides, some games. With the carnival company, they do require doing it more than just a one-day event. So on the 6th, 7th, and 8th of July, there will be a carnival company in the lower field at the park from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. It'll be just carnival rides and games. There will be some food trucks as well, and our fire department and ambulance standing by as well as usual. The carnival ride company dictates how much it costs per ticket or per wristband, so that's up to them, which we are still working out the finer details as this was kind of a last-minute thing. Saturday, July 9th, from noon to 10 p.m., will be the entire festival. So we'll have a stage in the upper field with five bands going. There will be vendors in the upper parking lot. The lower parking lot will be, or the lower ball field, I should say, will still be the carnival company. There will be a beer tent. There will be food trucks, vendors, pretty much a nice little time for everyone to come out, kind of come out from the community, hang out, see everybody, You can get your hands stamped, so if mom and dad want to bring the kids in the morning to go to the carnival, come back later on and have a beer, watch some bands, and have their own time, they are more than welcome to do that as well. The rides and games are being provided by Midways by McCafferty and McCafferty Enterprises. They do the Hudson County Fair and a couple of fairs in different places, as well as in the Bahamas, surprisingly. They will be setting up at some point before Wednesday, but they will be broken down by Saturday night, I am assured, by midnight, and out of here by Sunday morning. The police department was also contacted. The fire department itself will be paying the extra hours and overtime for the police department to have extra guys on to patrol the area, make sure we have extra security, especially since we're going to have a lot of things going on in the field. The beer tent was already situated with the company. They are actually bringing a vehicle that dispenses everything out of a truck, which will be locked and secured with padlocks that they have. It will be all tented off and roped off. There will be ID checking, the whole nine yards. Obviously, over 21 to drink properly and identified and in the cordoned off area. It'll be at the field on Bunvale. The gentleman who cuts the field, which is owned by the township, by the across the street from Woodglen, isn't doing anything with that field this year, so he has graciously offered to make sure that it is fully cut for us to park vehicles there as well. Tickets will be sold online and in person. If it is during, obviously it'll only be Saturday because during the week it'll just be for the carnival. You'll pay your tickets or your wristband money at that point. For Saturday, the ticket sales are online or you can do them in person. The ticket sales will be, assuming all of this gets approved, will be reduced since we are changing the event and kind of guidelines for everything. So it would be $20 for a ticket for the entry fee, and then you can go about and do whatever you want. If you're also buying a wristband for the rides, like for the parents, we'll make it we're making it $15 that way. Parents kind of get a discount since they're going to bring the kids, babysit everybody, do their thing. The fire department, along with our mutual aid companies of Glen Gardner, Highbridge, and Califon, already have a mutual aid agreement in place for coverage for Lebanon Township and the surrounding areas to make sure there's somebody here at all times at the park, as well as to answer any calls that we get to in town and other areas. The light towers we are getting provided from the Hunterdon County Communications, as well as the they're providing us with extra gators to go around and pick up the trash cans, empty everything out. Homestead, I think it's Christian Pill. I don't remember which pill it is, but it was one of them. Chris was kind enough to donate dumpsters to us to empty the garbage cans into. There will be restroom trailers put out. The restrooms, if I remember correctly, we had the conversation at the park meeting, will be locked. But we are getting restroom trailers as well as individual porta-johns that will also be checked and managed throughout the day. Fencing provided and set up to cordon off the area so that you don't have people coming and going as they please, especially with alcohol being served. Everything will be situated there, and I think I ran through most of Kyle's spiel that he has kind of strewed about on a piece of paper for me, honestly.
Okay, now you can breathe.
I have two questions. Number one, have you guys worked with Califon to get lessons learned from California, the reason they aren't doing it anymore?
Yes, yeah, so our previous chief, Rob Peck, used to do the Califon Carnival for them, so we had a sit-down, kind of went over everything and how everything's going to work out, and the carnival company is going to be coming out at some point this week just to assess the lower field and tell us how many rides they can bring, what trailers, what we can fit where, so we kind of have more of a guideline as to what's going on. Yeah. And they are going to bring down a breakdown of everything as well as their certificate of insurance, which we already contacted Faith at Groendijk, and she's in the process of setting up an extra liability for us, just waiting on some particulars.
Will they name the township as additionally insured?
That I'm not sure. I know Faith was going to contact Kyle back and forth once we got the particular.
The township should be additionally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the vendor should be paying for the.
Yeah, I was reading an article on this kind of stuff today, and they said the most important thing you can do is get that insurance certificate and make so it's good that you're talking to Faith. And then the other thing, any vendor, like the vendor themselves, a contract, we have to see what. Did they give you a cost for this whole thing?
The carnival company?
Yeah.
So the carnival company actually doesn't cost us anything as far as the rides and games. They give us a small percentage of whatever they make off of everything. The only thing that costs us money is the bands, the stage, whatever else we need to set everything up. So fencing, bathrooms, garbages, things like that. But the carnival companies themselves for the rides charge you a small, they give us a small percentage of whatever they make.
So if they make nothing, for example, it rains for 5 days, they just pack up and they leave. We don't owe them anything.
Nope, we don't owe them anything. They host it rain or shine, they tell us. They're apparently used to doing this rain or shine. But to them, it's just they booked up a day, and if it rains, it rains usually wherever else they go, and they don't lose any money, but they don't make any money because they're bringing stuff back and forth, which is why they've assured me they'll be gone by Sunday morning because they have somewhere to be in South Jersey somewhere. I'm not entirely sure. They were telling Kyle.
So you're going to assess all the costs, like you said, the bands, everything, because if the total comes to whatever, $10,000, say $10,000, then you know you have to make at least that. And if you don't, then what happens?
This is why I was situated in this position, because as the treasurer as well for the department, they were given a very strict and tight budget to be under. Mm-hmm. And most of that is just based off of how many ticket sales we get, how many the vendors that we get are each paying for a spot, per se. The food trucks are paying us for a spot. They have their own insurance and their own certificates that they have to get from, I believe, the health department.
Yeah.
I think we're talking about that. So it's really just kind of money off of the spots they make and whatever we sell, but it's a nice way to have everyone out and enjoy the community because we don't really get to do a whole lot of fundraising the last 2 years with COVID. So,
are you going
to
do sponsorships too?
So we do have a sponsorship list. One of our members, Anthony, who's actually sitting back there, has been calling a lot of different people for sponsorships. So, for instance, the dumpsters, rather than him giving us a check, he's just donating the dumpsters, which cost, I think he said, like $1,200. Mm-hmm. So we do have a sponsorship list. The sponsorships have tiers, depending on how much you donate. It'll be put on a giant banner. It'll be advertised. There will be yard signs put out, which we also got partially donated as well. We did reach out to other people to donate, and some people have said, yeah, you know, remind me when it gets closer, and we'll go from there. But we also have a whole list of those as well as the vendors who are also going in to do certain things. Like I know Kyle said the Department of Corrections is actually coming, and they're setting up their own little booth, so they are giving us money for a spot as well as a donation. AT&T is coming out, and they're also giving us a donation plus the spot. So it's kind of just rallying everything together at this point now that the changes have been made.
And as I understand it, you're making available and encouraging local vendors as well. If there's an artisan in the community that
any
wants to sell
vendors,
their
if you hand
pottery,
make
painting,
anything from string art to dresses, come on out. Have a great time. Just bring a table and chairs and tent.
Register ahead of time to get
yep,
a spot.
Yep, just let myself or Kyle know, preferably Kyle because I have a lot to do. But me as well. You just have to contact somebody at the fire department, and I think we said the vendor spots were like $20, and then obviously whatever you make off the day is yours, but you can bring anything that you make. There's no restriction as far as I know, depending on what you're doing. I've yet to come across somebody who's had an issue with it, but I'm saying that now as to cover my own.
We'll say restricted to legal activities, though.
There we go. Restricted to legal activities, please. But if anyone wants to come out and volunteer their time even just to help out, you're more than welcome to. Ticket takers, people just walking around, making sure everything's situated, checking in on bathrooms, things like that.
Do you have a website or Facebook or something for people who are interested?
So assuming everything goes well this evening, we have the Facebook post already planned. There will be a link to the website to order tickets. There will be an email address to contact myself or Kyle as far as if you want to volunteer, vendor, food truck, all of that. But so I didn't want to preemptively.
The volunteers, like the volunteers over the age of 21 will staff the beer tent. Where's the pool of volunteers coming from? Is that something you're organizing or this company's organizing?
That is something we organize with the company themselves. They actually come out and do a whole thing with us when they set up the truck. Whoever we deem as volunteers, which are going to be members of our organization since the insurance and everything else is under us, they give us a rundown on how to operate the vehicle, operate whatever's in the vehicle, ID checks, that kind of thing.
And as far as parking is concerned, is there going to be volunteers that will direct parking so the individuals that are coming in have a place to go and show them where they're going, like we used to do for the Blues Festival?
Yep. So the Glenn Gardner Fire Company offered us a nice handful of gentlemen to also come up and help us park vehicles.
Okay.
Other fire departments have offered. Okay. The Department of Corrections even offered to send up some of their individuals who are coming out if we need help parking cars. I believe Kyle is also going to reach out to like the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, see if the younger kids wanted to come up and do some stuff like walk around, pick up trash off the ground, throw it out, community service.
One last thing. The stage for the bands, where is that going to be located?
Up at the top parking lot, I believe Kyle said, by the football field. And that's through a company called ASI, and they bring all of their own generator power, stages, all of that. they're bringing their own power sources, stages, lighting. They have that all.
In the parking lot or in the field, the stage?
I believe Kyle's putting them at the edge of the parking lot, like where the thing starts. But I have to specify with Kyle on that. Like I said, I'm just reading off my nice little list here.
You said something about the Department of Corrections is going to send people up?
They want to have a booth set up, and they want to come out and help out. And
you're talking about correctional officers, right?
Yes.
Blue suits, not orange.
That's what I was asking, indirectly.
The ones with the handcuffs, not in the handcuffs.
Gotcha. Here we go. How about 50-50? You going to have that type of thing?
So we were going to attempt to. Somebody on our department was supposed to obtain a raffle permit, but failed to do so in a timely fashion. So those take a little bit to fashion out, and there's a lot of rules and regulations on it that myself as treasurer do not feel comfortable appointing certain people to do certain things with all of this going on. So it's possibly a next year item if this goes well and we're doing it next year. This is a starting off point, see what I can handle and
go from there. Fireworks either, is that correct?
Fireworks?
There's no fireworks, is that correct?
No. Okay. No.
In terms of scope, is this going to be similar to the Califon Carnival?
Yes and no. So it's going to have, there should be more rides, more games. There's more space than there was, obviously, at Califon's general area. There's also going to be live bands throughout the day. There's different bands, Sweet Fanny Adams, The Nerds, other people. Mm-hmm. They are going to be playing all day into, I believe Kyle has a list of till 10 p.m. So there will be like a separate music festival. There will be the beer truck. I don't remember if Califon's Carnival ever.
Years ago.
But I don't remember that portion of it. I've only.
They stopped it because they used to have a lot of trouble.
Well, that's Califon. No.
That's when there was a lot of people from Vernoy there. But anyway.
Will we eventually see a layout just when you know where everything is going to be?
Yes, so we actually submitted the layout because we have to submit that for the alcohol permit, which we are also obviously in the process of obtaining, which somebody here probably got the application because I think it says it gets sent to the township, possibly to you, Karen. I'm not entirely sure on that one.
Yeah, please.
And to Chief Prontz, who I've already spoken to about it. Once they approve the layout, then it'll be posted. But for now, it's just for their thing to let us know whether or not that layout is okay for them. And then as long as everything is situated in that layout, we're good to go. But I'm not counting my chickens before they hatch here.
It sounds like a great idea for the community. I just, the insurance, the contracts, anything that we're going to be held liable for financially, we need to know.
Yep. So Kyle already has the contract for the stage. I actually just received today. I have not had a chance to look at it myself yet, which is why I did not bring it with me. But we have the contract for the stage. Kyle should be getting the contract for the carnival company, as well as any certificate of insurance, which I've already informed him make copies of, scan in, make sure we send them over to everybody that needs them as far as Karen and Kim and everyone else and whoever else needs to review them to make sure everything is situated and set before this continues. But he was informed to obtain everything and anything that is needed.
Do you think of the possibility of having a radio station broadcast from the festival, too? Sometimes that attracts a lot of people. I know that WDVR used to do that, and some of the other WRNJ.
So it was a thought process that we have not honestly put much thought into. My bigger concern was getting all of this situated, to be honest with you, as doing the first-time thing. I get very nervous about first-time things that I've never done before. I like things to go well. I'm a very OCD organized person. So this is really giving my mind a jumble. But Kyle did mention he also knows somebody, I guess, at one of the news channels. So as long as everything was going according to plan about a month or so before, which is obviously in a few weeks, he was going to contact them about putting out a little news thing for it, putting it out over the radio stations. But again, where everything was approved by the committee, I told Kyle put it to a halt because I'm not advertising things that may or may not happen. So I like to keep my stuff in an organization manner, as you can tell.
I think going to Bev's point, I think the approval that we would give tonight would be contingent upon satisfactory insurance certificates and all permit requirements that we would ask our administration to sign off on before anything went forward. But I think we need to approve it contingent upon those tonight, given the timeline ahead of us, if we're going to approve it.
And that's fine.
That works with you, right?
Yeah, that's fine. And as soon as Kyle meets and gets the final certificate of liabilities, insurances,
right,
and contacts Faith, and Faith
right
gets the rest of her stuff organized, which she was just waiting on a few things, I believe.
Yeah.
She was going to send me over a copy to review so we could send it over to everybody.
Perfect.
And there is going to be training for people that are going to be operating the beer trailer?
Yep, so High Grade Beverage is doing it. They actually, when they bring the truck out, they'll show everybody how to use it, how the hoses connect, how everything operates on it, just in case there's an issue. They also leave us a contact card for the person who drops it off in case there's an issue and they have to come back out.
Having a father who owned a bar in California for 12 years is a good idea to train people in regard to the service of alcohol.
Yes.
I know I've spoken to the chief, and I can't necessarily quote on the police chief, and he's fully aware of this, and I don't want to put words in his mouth whether he's in favor of it, not in favor of it, but he didn't express any reservations,
objection,
no objections to it. The park committee has fully reviewed this.
Yes, they
and
have unanimously supported it.
So we have that to rely on as well.
So,
any further discussion on this, or would there be a
I
motion?
Like it. It's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's a great, great community initiative, and great, as I said, that the fire department hustles to fund themselves as well as to save ourselves. So,
I try.
And we need this. The California Carnival was in existence for 98 years,
and it stopped. So there's a void in the market for it.
Absolutely.
I couldn't believe they couldn't have 2 more years.
So, do you want to make the money? I mean, you're parking fire and all that stuff, so.
Well, looking forward to this community event, and hopefully it's a very successful one for the fire department. And I would like to make a motion to approve this event to move forward with the insurance and contractual, as well as additionally insured and whatever we need to the township. I would make that motion to move forward with this.
I'd second that.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 You're going to have a dunking booth?
That was discussed.
That was also discussed.
I
enough
think
for
that
debate.
Every member of the committee should be allowed to be in that booth.
And we should think we
fun
don't get a chance to see
it. I definitely do it.
We don't get the fire department here very often.
There,
but Brittany is one of the main forces behind our highly successful EMS program, mm-hmm, both organizing it, participating in it, and really one of the backbones of the fire department.
Yes.
So we thank her very much for her service.
Probably get the most.
I'm just the woman that babysits the men, honestly. But thank you.
But it wouldn't run without that. So.
Thank you.
There's no other new business on the agenda. So presentation of vouchers.
You don't have any that qualify?
First is for Rick Allen Auto for $2,206.82 for repairs. Next is for Griffin Alley Trucking for gasoline for the police for $1,980.76. Then one for Bear Reese Engineering, which was for coming to planning board meetings, attendance $1,300. Borough of Washington, this is for a second quarter payment for our animal control services. It's a shared service, $2,501.
I've got the final 50% payment of our annual audit fee to Ardito and Company. That includes the municipal court in the amount of $17,499. And to Lisco Environmental for our biennial monitoring and report submission to the NJDEP for the first aid squad of $1,750.
I have ACES Performance and Repair for $3,808.51. BCI Truck, Inc. for $1,655. General Foundries, Inc. for
apparently some type of inlet related, I'm assuming, to a catch basin, $4,109.80. Griffith Allied Trucking, my favorite things, diesel, $3,742.85. Liftoff, LLC, $2,880. Asphalt, Warren Asphalt, $1,047.80. More asphalt, $2,983.18. That, again, from Warren Asphalt. That's it.
And I don't have any at all this month, or this week, I should say.
The total bill list is $56,896.39. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. We have a couple of items, several items of correspondence. The first is the fire department report for April.
Yeah, I'd just like to highlight that on the month of April, they had a total calls of 72, 53 EMS, and 19 were fired. And year to date, as up to the April, they had 266 total calls, 202 were EMS, fire was 64. And mutual aid received to date is 34. Mutual aid given to date was 56. And I just want to highlight another thing that we know that they do EMS, rescue, and fire, but they also get involved with traffic accidents and spills where there was a diesel spill on 31. And between the county hazmat and our fire department, they were able to handle the diesel from getting into the Spruce Run Creek. And there was no... causing very little minimal environmental impact. So besides the fire and rescue, they're also on the streets like our highways, protecting the environment as well. So
thank you. Next correspondence is from our township engineer, the 2021 Stormwater Tier B annual report certifying that the municipality is in compliance with its stormwater program, stormwater pollution prevention plan, and the NJPDES Tier B Municipal Stormwater General Permit. No further discussion on that. Then we have historians' minutes for January, February, and March, their meeting minutes. Anything to highlight?
I think in particular, if anybody had any questions about any of the minutes.
Seeing none. Then we have the Environmental Open Space Commission meeting minutes from the March meeting.
Just that they're working on that forest stewardship plan that they came in and discussed with us earlier.
And the curator's report for the month of May.
There is, of course, the museum's 40th anniversary exhibit, which is coming up. May 21st, the Squires Point Historians Annual Meeting Museum Open House, which is going to take place, I believe it starts at 11 o'clock and concludes at 2 o'clock. There'll be a presentation at noon, I believe. Everybody would be encouraged to attend that. Saturday, May 28th, Richard Pierce is going to present the history of Mother's Day, and craft activity for all ages will be part of the event. Saturday, June 11th, the Lenny Lenape at the Plunge Complex, 12,000 years and counting, with the same, I think it was Dr. Edward Strew. Is that? You need advanced registration for that. He's also giving a lecture on June 25th about the woodland, historic, modern periods, and the archaic period. And Saturday, July 2nd, 40th anniversary party featuring the two apple pie baking contest, traditional craft speakers, and more. Planning has begun for that. I'd like to mention that there was a scholarship. The winner was chosen by the Historians Committee, and the event called From Our Perspective, the student art show, concluded, and there were, I guess, 30 people that came to the museum, and the crowd was mainly presenters, families, and teachers.
Thank you. That takes us to the public comment portion of the meeting, when members of the public can comment on any item of interest to them. Is there a motion to open public comment?
I'll make a motion to open a public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if anyone would like to make a comment,
Kozlowski, 61 Old Reading. I don't know if you're going to solicit input on the newsletter, but I would prefer to get the paper because I've got hundreds of bookmarks, and I get the newsletter, and the newsletter reminds me to go check my bookmarks. It also reminds, the newsletter also is very good to remind me what a great township we live in and all the things that get done. And you can be on all kinds of social media, but I still pick up stuff from the newsletter, and I wouldn't pick it up if it wasn't physically mailed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just have a few suggestions. Now, the police department is allowed to have a Facebook page. Is there any consideration of the township having one just for information only?
Constant consideration.
Because now we can cut off public comments, isn't
correct.
That what you said?
Yes.
Because then that's where we'd be able to advertise that we're having a committee meeting when we're not having it. That would be a way for people to know.
Well, they just started that, so it's, you know.
Oh, very informative, too.
Yeah, but it's now we can see how they're doing with it, and if it's all successful, then we can.
Okay, now on the newsletter, you just might want to look into the county printing the newsletter. The historians are getting a trifold of Woodland area, and for 100 copies, it's costing $27. It'll be color, and they, I believe that they will prepare it for you to. Then all you would need to have someone pay for to put the labels on and mail it. So that's an option. It's a lot cheaper than when you go to a private printing. So it might be something to look into. I didn't know about the mailing, if they insist on printing it to be able to mail it.
It's actually not any cheaper.
Huh?
It's not cheaper, actually, for a newsletter. If the, based on that number you just said, it'd be $14,000 just for printing and for four
but
copies.
Is that as much as what we paid before?
So we're about 10 plus.
So that cost is not costing us any more. Like, is the newsletter overall going to cost us more in the with the whole new thing
no.
that we're getting?
No, the costs on the printing and the mailing are the same.
Okay.
That's not changing. It's
just
editorial.
And when you're talking about opting out, is maybe people can just opt out of receiving a paper copy, and then they can, because the newsletter's always been online to do that. And I can't resist, but about the meetings of posting it, it's in that manual that we receive every year.
Right on. How many years have we been? How many years have we worked
on that? Any other member of the public like to make a comment?
That's right. What name?
Charlie Fortenbacher, Sliker Road. I advertise in that newsletter, and I like holding that in my hand. I like reading that. I enjoy when I get it. I show people different articles in it, and my family back down in Baskin Ridge or whatever. But I think we should definitely have it in paper form, both ways. But I just think it's important to have it in paper form. I just don't want it to get on the back burner. We still are looking for someone to clean those bathrooms. You know, it's fallen on the park committee's hands to do it on like a volunteer basis, which is it's working, but it's nice to know we're at least I don't want it to fall on the back burner. We still are looking for someone to clean those bathrooms. Thirdly, I'm just curious what's going on at the old Diamond Aerosol place. I see a lot of activity there with a new driveways put in and a lot of big machinery there. Was something passed or voted on that the citizens of Lebanon Township don't know about? That's another deal. I mean, that was pretty heavily debated there for a while, and I've heard a word since. You see a lot of activity going on there, and I'm curious what the hell's going on there. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing no one else coming forward, is there a motion to close public comment?
Motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. We have no topics for executive session, so the next motion would be a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you all for attending tonight, and have a good evening.